What is up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Our Naked Story Podcast. Just want to first apologize for that loud noise in the background. It is my air conditioning, and it's too hot to turn it off. So, sorry. That's what I get for living in Southern California. Actually, that's why I live in Southern California, because I love it here. It's amazing. Today's episode is brought to you by Alpen Organics. You guys, time and time again, people just, they're like, oh, CBD sucks. CBD doesn't do anything. CBD is boring. Whatever. Alpen Organics is anything but boring. One, it's vegan. Okay. They use US hemp only. They have third-party testing. And there's no THC. It's non-GMO. And it's also a US veteran company. So if you're sick and tired of searching around for a CBD company that actually makes you feel something, stop searching and go over to alpenorganics.com and use offer code OurNakedStory to save 40% off. That's only for today, Friday. But you're going to get 30% off on every other day. So what are you waiting for? Again, if you're just like, God, there's no freaking CBD out there that works and whatever, go to Alpen Organics. Give it a shot. I'm sure you're going to like it. I love it. Actually, I just put an order in yesterday, and it should be here. Actually, it should be here today. I should probably go check my mail. That's how fast they are. Well, actually, it comes a lot faster for me because I think they're based out of LA and we're only like an hour and a half outside of LA. I don't know. I don't know how that works. But I know that I get it really fast. And I'm sure if you live near the LA area, you're going to get it fast too. Alpen Organics has tinctures, which is what I love to use. I use the 2000 milligram tincture. It's the one that comes in a little red bottle. Just put a little bit underneath my tongue. And unfortunately, I'm not on any right now because I ran out. I should have ordered some before I was running out, but whatever. Put a little bit underneath your tongue, and automatically you're just feeling nice and relaxed and mellow. And it doesn't really have a taste either. So that's another thing I look for in CBDs, because some CBDs, they have that weird aftertaste, and you have to like brush your teeth again. I don't know. Alpen Organics doesn't have that bad taste. They also have these CBD gummies, which if you're talking about taste, holy shit, go get yourself some CBD gummies. Come in 500 milligram, so a little bit more chiller, and they taste absolutely amazing. I would say you could probably eat them for dessert. That's how amazing they are. Or for breakfast, whatever. Dessert sometimes is breakfast. Cereal, it's kind of a dessert, but people have it for breakfast. It's weird. They also have CBD topicals, which topicals is like a body cream. So if you have like a bad shoulder, bad leg, I don't know, your glutes hurt or something, just rub a little bit on that area, and it feels all nice and good. So go check it out, you guys. Again, that is alpenorganics.com. You can also download their app. They have a pretty sick-ass app. It has a whole bunch of like different like vegan recipes and a whole bunch of recipes that you can put all of your tinctures in, like smoothies and shit. So whatever you want to do with that, you can do that. So go check it out, you guys, alpenorganics.com. And remember to use offer code OurNakedStory to receive 40% off on Fridays and 30% off on every other regular boring day of the week. I guess Saturdays aren't really boring. Sundays are, I don't know. It's the Lord's Day, I guess. If you're into that. Hey, I'm not judging. Anyways, today, you guys. So we have another commercial, but I'm not going to lie. It's going to get played in the middle of the episode because we had to do it. Today, we speak to a adventurous human being from Nevada. Her name is Meesh, M-E-E-S-H. And she's one badass motherfucker. And she helps promote body positivity. And I don't know, we just had a really good conversation with her. She came and hung out for the weekend, and we decided to record a podcast, and it was pretty fucking amazing. So I hope you guys really like it. So without further ado, here is Metal Meesh.
Oh, it was one of my art teachers. Nice. He made like this, like that thing behind him was like, oh, wow, pretty much like life size, like submarine that he's like, it was a sculpture.
Yeah,
and it's like, it's made out of like foam or something, but it looks, whoa, legit. It looks like metal.
Yeah,
like if you saw it in real life,
for sure.
So he made this whole story about it. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's like, you know, one of my excursions to like some like distant land. He was like, I saw this in the water and like went scuba diving and like
found this big, like, old scrap of, like, a submarine that he, like, got on, like, made it his, like, mission to, like, restore it and, like, have it preserved in a museum. And, like,
wow.
I don't know. It's, like, he goes all in detail. It's funny.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
Have you, never been, would you ever scuba dive?
Maybe.
Yeah. What about you? Would you ever scuba dive?
I would love to scuba dive, but I don't think I can, because I can't equalize.
Ears. What do you mean?
Like, so when you're going, like, down and your ears are getting, like, pressure, like, I can't relieve that pressure.
Mm.
And I think, actually, like, I should probably, like, retry, you know, because I, like, flying has become a lot easier for me in recent years. But, like, I used to fly someplace, and then I wouldn't be able to hear out of, like, one ear for, like, months.
What will happen if, like, would your head explode or something? Or, what's the...
No, I think it's just, like, a comfort thing. I think it's just that they don't want people, like, diving down if they can't, like, regulate the pressure in their, like, eardrum.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just what I was told. They're like, if you can't equalize, you can't scuba dive.
Yeah.
So I snorkel. The Great Barrier Reef instead of, but I still dove down to get a GoPro at the bottom.
Yeah, to get one.
Yeah, I found a GoPro, and then like dove down, and it was like 30 feet. I had no idea, like, because in my goggles, I was like, oh, it's right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then like I kept going, and I was like, I'm still going, and I was like, I didn't take a big enough breath.
Oh right.
And
you're like, I'm already halfway down here, so I might as well.
Yeah,
and then, might as well get there. Dude, scuba diving, snorkeling is badass. So, okay, two things. One, so we were at Black's Beach, and I saw some guy fucking kill a fish with this spear. What? So I was like, yeah. He had this big old, it was like 7-foot pole.
Spearfishing.
His spearfish, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm fucking getting into that shit right now. So I was like, first thing you gotta do is I gotta learn how to breathe underwater. So every day, or like, learn how to like hold my breath longer. I still can't breathe underwater, but...
You
have to
kill a fish.
Yeah. But, so every day I would swim to the end of the pool.
Yeah.
And because I'm a smoker, like, luckily, because of the vape, then I don't really have, like, too messed up lungs.
You're right.
But I can go to the pool and back, like, with no problem.
The end.
From yeah, one end to the other.
With
and
one
back.
Breath.
In one breath, yeah. So then I started practicing where I'm like, let's pretend like I'm actually spearfishing. So, like, and one of the problems I had was that every time I would go underwater, I would always float up. So I'm like, I need to find out how to keep myself underwater without like weights or anything like that. So I learned there's a certain thing you can do with your breath to make you like heavier. So like kind of what happens when people, this is a little bit of research I've done, that when people like try holding their breath underwater and they think that they need more air, it's actually because you have too much oxygen in you. So breathing out actually helps you breathe or stay under the water longer. So what you do is you kind of train your body to be able to hold more carbon dioxide. So I forgot what the actual thing, it's like carbon dioxide training or something like that. Mm-hmm. But now I can swim, I can almost do to the end of the pool back there and like two times now in one breath. And I can do it slowly and keeping myself underwater. And then I learned how to like walk underwater too.
Right.
So I'm like out there and I haven't found like my arm out. I don't know if you've ever seen like a spear.
Like, I've seen like surfers and like in Pirates of the Caribbean. I've seen them like walk underwater and stuff. Yeah.
But the poles are fucking legit. Like there's around 6 to 8 feet poles. And then they have this rubber band in the middle of it, like this big rubber band. And it's hard to explain, but you put the rubber band like on your arm like that. And then when you pull the pole down, it, you know, stretches it out.
Okay.
And then when you're next to a fish, you just let go. And then that's when it shoots out. So those are like, legit. Yeah. So obviously you can get like a spear gun. Like
actually manually do it?
Yeah. So I think there's I don't know if
they throw it or something.
Yeah. I was trying to find out if like, cause that, the guy, he was underwater doing it. Just to have the fish outside the water.
Yeah.
But he was using that same pole because it had the rubber band on it. So I'm trying to research like all this, like, oh, like what different types of spears are there and stuff. And then, of course, you just go into this big old rabbit hole and then pretty soon you're looking for fucking submarines, you know? Like, I can just buy the submarine, be down there.
There's that one woman who Jeremy can talk to. She's a spearfisher.
Mm-hmm.
And like when you see her pictures of her underwater, it doesn't look like she has, well, I don't know, I could be wrong. But it looks like she's just using one that you just, like...
stab with or something like that?
Yeah. Or throw. But I'm like, how do you throw that in water and, like, stays, like, straight?
Yeah.
Or even, like, has momentum. So maybe it is a gun.
Yeah. Maybe. So those are just, like, spring-loaded things. The guns or whatever. But, dude, like, fucking... I was talking about the Neanderthals. They were looking at their weapons.
The Neanderthals?
Trolls, yeah.
Yeah, trolls.
I just learned that. I was saying Neanderthals wrong this whole time. So it's trolls, yeah. So they were going through all their weapons and stuff, and it's a spear, and there's a secondary stick that they hold in their hand, right? It's got this little hook at the end, and then they take their regular spear, like with the pointy end, and then they put it at the end of it, right? So they have it like that, and it's like hooking on like that, mm-hmm. and they fucking chuck it, and their sail is like deadly accurate. Like they can hunt whatever the fuck they want, like with precision. Oh. It's nuts, but these are just sticks and stones, you know?
Right.
And they would use like bone and stuff for the end, for the tips and stuff like that. So just a little tidbit of advice if you wanted to know about fucking spears and stuff. But
yeah.
So do we call you, what name do you like to go by?
Okay. I introduce myself to, I'd say the majority of people is Michelle.
Okay.
Mostly because Mish confuses people.
Okay.
Like, whenever I say, hi, I'm Mish, they're like, one more time? And I'm like, okay, like, my name is Michelle, and I have a nickname Mish.
Yeah.
And, like, but over the years, like, there have been periods of my life where I haven't heard the name Michelle be, like, referred to as me,
mm-hmm.
unless it comes from, like, my parents, right?
Okay.
So more recently I've taken on Mish as sort of my, I guess, my alter ego or mm-hmm. like my online persona or whatever. And so when I introduce myself to people, I'll often be like, yeah, but you can call me Mish. Like, my name is okay. Michelle.
Yeah.
That's what you call me is Mish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Now, are you ever like, hey, you can call me Metal Mish? Like, no?
No.
So Metal Mish is your Instagram online yeah, persona. Handle. Yeah. yeah handle, and we were kind of talking a little bit yesterday. Well, let's start with this. So, this is your first time ever coming to a nudist resort,
yes.
correct? And mm-hmm. first of all, thank you for coming and visiting us.
Absolutely.
We've been doing a lot of Skype calls, and yeah. it's cool. It is cool to have Skype calls, but it's nice to be face-to-face with somebody. And even some of the Skype calls we do, they weren't showing their face. I don't think it's not because they didn't want to. I think one like didn't have a camera, and the other one, I don't know what happened with that one. But but
yeah,
it's nice.
It's like talking to like a screen.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's a little weird. I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to say is it's cool to have like physical...
Sit down
with somebody. And yeah. And then, like, you know, obviously, like, with the, you know, we're sitting on our phones having this, like, conversation at, like, a dinner table, you know?
Right.
Just such a weird idea that that's an actual thing now. That, like, oh, yeah. people have to tell their kids, like, hey, you know, no phones at the table. Yeah. Or, yeah. You're just like, I don't know. Like, you should be able just to talk to people. So, anyways, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
So, if you don't mind, you don't have to answer it, but you're not from Southern California, so you travel a little bit ways from here, if you want to say where you're from.
I'm from Vegas. Yeah, so I was very excited that when you guys were like, yeah, you can come. I was like, I can come? I will gladly come.
So how do you like this? Well, let's go into your, I guess, like your background. So as far as like nudism, one, do you even consider yourself a nudist? And if you do, what does nudist mean to you or nudism mean to you?
Yeah. So I guess like I would definitely consider myself a nudist to answer that question. Mm-hmm. But I don't, I would never have like labeled that myself that, until I'd say like more recently. It wasn't really until I moved to Vegas and I live in a house with a lot of entrepreneurs and just people that are really, have done a lot of like sex work and are very confident with their bodies and comfortable in their sexuality and their nudity and everything. And, it's always been something I've wanted to explore, but I haven't really had the space to do. And so when I moved in with these people and there was the space for it and I brought up like, oh, like I want to do naked hammock time. Like, does that bother anybody? And everyone's like, go for it, you know? And then it wasn't, you know, I'd be naked in my hammock and they'd be making coffee and it was all cool. And I'm like, this is great, you know? And then, I guess, yeah, it's always sort of been a part of my life, but there's just not always been space for it. So to be able to like take that space now and find where that space is held, places like this or like nudist beaches or my own backyard, mm-hmm. you know, alone on a trail in a national park, like, or I guess with people, you know, sometimes they pass by and there's nothing you can do about it, right?
No. Which is so cool, dude. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and so I've really been enjoying like exploring myself as a nudist recently. Yeah.
Now, do you think that, and we'll just go fucking straight into it. Do you think that nudism can change the world? No, just kidding. So what would you? I mean, obviously, you said growing up, you were already how about that? So, like, when you grew, now that you're in this house, you were already comfortable with being naked. It was, like you said, it was just trying to find that environment to be naked to it.
Correct.
Growing up, was it hard to have that confidence, or did you just now realize it, or has it been with her, been with you your whole entire life?
I'd say it's probably been with me my whole life. I've always, like, there's videos of me, like, 4 years old, you know, like, I'm dancing around, and then my mom's like, do something fun, and instead of, like, jumping and flipping, I, like, take my clothes off, right? You know, or like, I remember, so I was an elite gymnast. We traveled all over the world and we didn't have a lot of like off time to explore and stuff, but we did get some time to like sightsee and, have some off hours to like go to the beaches when we were on coastal city at coast in coastal cities and towns. And there's nude beaches everywhere all over Italy and Portugal and people are just naked. And I'm like, well, they're naked. I can be naked. You know, my teammates would be like, Michelle, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, I'm getting naked. And they're like, why? And I'm like, because that guy's naked. You know? And I just wanted to be in the ocean. And, like, I think it's a very, at least for me, it's always been, like, a really grounding thing. It's, like, I feel most at home within my body when I'm, like, naked in nature. And it's really soothing for my soul.
Yeah. Well, it's got to fall into that same category of, like, when you're, like, all cuddled up in, like, the wintertime, it's, like, it's the same representation of, like, being, like, in your mother's womb, you know? Like, so, like, when you're naked, I wonder if that has some kind of, like, connection, you know what I mean?
Of being, so, like, comfortable?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then just, like, being a human, being, like, how you were, like, brought into this world and stuff like that, you know? I don't know. Might be. Might not be, though. I could be full of shit. I'm not a scientist. So.
I think, like, some people would maybe disagree with that just because, like, nudity can be uncomfortable for some people, and some people are more modest, and you know, that's okay, but maybe being nude for them doesn't necessarily feel comfortable like the mother's womb, you know, although
that makes sense.
Although like that is your most natural state is being naked, but like because of the way our society is and the way that just, you know, people are brought up and everything, maybe that might not be the case for them.
They do say like in the United States, people are more repressed. That's why it's not so common, like, you know, like in European countries where it's just natural to see people out, especially at the beach by the water, in the nude.
Right.
Like here in America, or in the United States, it's not very common.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder why no, or I wonder why not yet. I don't know. I mean, we were kind of talking about this yesterday too. We're like, you're like, I don't know if maybe I've seen a progress in not just nudism, but like nude art, nude photo, whatever you want to consider nude art, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know if that's because I'm like, because now that I'm doing it, am I just like kind of bringing that attention with me? Or do you think that there's an actual change that's happening lately? You know, I think at least for the past 2 years, I've seen a huge spike in not just, well, yeah, definitely in like younger people and then both genders too, visiting more Black Beach, coming to places like Olive Dale, coming to Glen Eden.
And to the hot springs. The guy who runs the hot spring page, he was like, when you look up the hashtag Deep Creek Hot Springs, he said, at least the first 10 pictures that pop up are people in the nude.
Yeah.
And he's like, if for nothing else, then at least that's becoming more normalized.
Right.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Well, and then a lot of people are also putting their faces out there, like actually put on social media. Because, like, I mean, social media still hasn't been around for too long. And, like, I don't know what happened with, like, the nudist culture. But now people have, like, no problem taking, like, a butt pic and, like, you know what I mean? And I
think that might have something to do with just because of the way that social media has, like, connected people so much. And it's, like, part of what social media is for is to kind of give people this platform to be like whoever they want to be, right? So there's like a lot of controversy with that because there's a lot of pressure to like maintain, you know, whatever you're like projecting out there. But I think also in the same sense, maybe like on the other end of the spectrum, you get these people that are like, oh, like this is a part of who I am and I want to share this part of who I am to the world. And then because social media is the way that it is, like you are all of a sudden connected with this massive community and you're like, oh, like this is, you know, the same thing happens with like mental health. You go on, you know, Facebook or Instagram or whatever and come out and be like, hey, like I struggle with, you know, XYZ. And it's like, people come and support you. And that's a really good feeling to feel, especially with the way that, because of the way technology is like distancing us, and then we're definitely social distancing now, right? And so to have that like online space it helps curate like a movement, and mm-hmm. then more and more people are like, well, like this is something that I want to try, and then they find out that they really like it, you mm-hmm. know, and then mm-hmm. and it just seems like there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of hate that can be spread all over social media as well, which is really unfortunate, but I think at least in my experience, for the most part, it's all been really positive yeah. and like welcoming, which
I
is
agree.
Yeah.
Well, and you also, so like something we talked about yesterday was finding that common ground too, which is perfect. And even like, even through just a screen, when you find a common ground that somebody, even with like hashtags like that, like, oh, like something, this, me and this person have at least that one thing in common.
Right.
And then, so like with nudism, when you come here and we all get naked and you're like, oh, like a male to a male, like, oh, you have a wiener too. And yeah. a female, you know what I mean? Like you're like, right. oh shit. Like we at least have that one thing in common. Yeah.
Yeah.
So whatever beliefs you have, whatever political side, whatever, anything that you have, you at least have one thing in common, that we are all human.
Exactly.
And we all have body parts. Like yeah. that's, and then you can build off of that. And that's what I think, just because like, I don't know, I feel like there's like tangible stuff that we all have in common, but then like the beliefs and stuff, that's not like a, in a way, it's not really like a real thing either. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As far as like, I feel like everybody wants to have like these positive thoughts, wants to have these positive opinions. You know, obviously there are the few, well, however you want to define few, that are just bad people in the world, you know?
Yeah.
And then you start getting into like the toxicity of people as well. You
totally.
Know? So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think just getting naked could solve all the world's problems.
Right. I mean, it strips you down. So you don't yeah. have an opportunity to really judge somebody based on like their clothing. Mm-hmm. Something that was actually a really interesting thing I moved through yesterday was the fact that like, you know, like I have clothes and those clothes are an extension of who I am, and that like I want to like show who I am mm-hmm. and like you judge people based on like the clothes they wear, you know what yeah. I mean, and I'm sitting here like, well, I want to wear, like I'm sitting like I want to wear this because like I want to show that like I have this pair of jeans that looks nice, you know what
yeah.
I mean, but like
yeah.
at the end of the day, like no, like I'm here to be nude mm-hmm. and like that's kind of the point mm-hmm. like I don't want to come here and be judged because I wear all black, you know, so then like they can assume X, Y, and Z mm-hmm. based on whatever experience they have with people that have worn all black, you know
yeah.
what I mean? And same thing with like, you know, when you wear things that have like specific messages or, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know, different cultural beliefs or like, you know, cultural garb or anything like that, mm-hmm. you know, there's stereotypes mm-hmm. that are attached to those things. And when you become nude and mm-hmm. you're just like in this nudist community and that's all gone, you have an opportunity to open up conversation
yeah
mm-hmm.
To be able to be like, oh, like, so what are you interested in
mm-hmm.
you
yeah.
know, and not have any of those preconceived notions like mm-hmm.
yeah, yeah,
which is pretty cool,
dude. So I've never judged somebody based off of like what they wear because
yeah.
I really don't give a fuck, really. Like, I'm the
sure.
worst matcher in the entire
yeah.
I get to read it. I wear stripes
with
plaids.
I don't even know.
Yeah. Like, she'll be like, that's what you're wearing? Like, you know, we're going to dinner.
Like
yeah,
every once
like,
in a while I have to check in, but most of the time I'm like,
it's
whatever.
Like swim trunks
yeah.
and like a button up t-shirt, like a tie. And it's like, yeah, it's fucking whatever. But so last night, I'm not going to say his name, but one of the guys that we were hanging out with, so every time I've met him, he's always just been naked, but he has that cool jacket that you think you guys know what I'm talking about. He has
yeah.
this cool jacket. I'm like, dude, that's a fucking badass jacket.
Yeah.
But I was like, yeah, he's just, you know, he's a nudist. He's like, he's just a man, and we
yeah.
talk about cool shit, and that's really all it had to be. So at 7 o'clock this morning, decides to show me this little tidbit that he's this famous fucking musician.
Oh.
Like, worldwide famous musician.
Really?
So he's like, show me all these, he's like, yeah, he goes, I don't like to talk about it. And he's telling me about like all his royalties and shit. Like, dude, he's fucking making like $500,000 a year, like all this shit.
Wow.
And you would never, like, that would never
yeah.
even like come up into a conversation.
Yeah.
But then like when I saw his video, and I guess that's what I'm trying to segue into, when I saw the video, you could see what he was wearing. And I was like, if I met him like that, I'd be like, oh yeah, you're totally a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
That's not really a bad judgment, but it's the same concept, you know?
It's
well, we had no idea.
Yeah, no idea
no
whatsoever.
Idea. He just seemed like a regular guy. Like, he's not really, you talk to him and you can get in conversation with him, but he's not very like,
he's like,
I would
oh, yeah,
say
I made
super outgoing, you know, like
sure.
trying to like talk to everybody and be super social. He's kind of like, or to himself. You know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Like, but come across that way, yeah.
Yeah, and it was nuts. And he showed me, he's like, yeah, you know, I've played in London and France and Paris and like,
wow.
he's played all over the world. And like, dude, he's in like Tarantino movies.
Really?
Like the music
yeah.
in the background, it's him.
Wow.
So like, oh, I guess if you really do the research, you would find out. But I'm not going to say his name, but so he found that niche. So it's like it's like 50s rockabilly.
Yeah.
So he found this niche that he got into where it's like, nobody's really doing that. He's like, these people, they're either going to pay, it was some stupid number, like $90,000 for a 1 minute segment of like Elvis Presley to put in their song. Or he's like, or they're going to pay me $16,000 for a 1 minute segment of my song. So that crazy. Sounds just like Elvis Presley. You know what right. I mean? Like, I mean, it's not a cover of Elvis Presley, but it's his, it's that same type of music.
Right.
So he's like, yeah, of course, like these, you know, these people, they'll come to me rather yeah. than paying fucking $90,000 for a minute of a song.
Right.
That's crazy.
Dang. It's like, geez, all right, well, I don't want to talk too much about that. But yeah, it was cool because, like, you would have never, ever known.
Right.
And there, it happens here all the time, dude. There's people who live here who are police officers and firefighters, and they were nurses, teachers, and
yeah.
All
walks of life.
Yeah.
And you would never know because they're just, like, based on their clothing, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you just see them naked.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or then even, like, conversation, it really doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, yeah. and that's another thing. So, like, we just find that common ground, and then you just have, like, a good time. Like, you yeah. just,
I think you want to like, drink some it, of my friends, I don't even know what they do professionally for, like, income.
For yeah. sure.
Because we just hang out naked, and
yeah.
we have a good time, and we have good conversations, and...
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. But, like, fuck, where was I going with that? God damn it. Every time.
I think you were talking about clothing.
We were talking about like judgment.
Oh, you know,
yeah. yeah, and like.
Yeah. Well, it's yeah. Fuck. It's gone. It's okay. gone. Just gone. Far, far away. Yeah, it might come back. But, so, on your page and like that. So you're definitely more in like that artistic, like
yeah.
modeling, photography, and stuff like that.
Sure.
Which is super cool, and you also have your OnlyFans and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And we won't have to get too into like what it is. We'll shout you out. We'll do all your
yeah.
whatever stuff like that at the end, but how cool is it that you can, like we were talking about yesterday, that you can make money off of like just like what you have, like literally your yeah. naked body, you know? And like I feel like a lot of people, for some, they look down on it. I think it's more jealousy. When I was first against it, I was like, damn, like that's dumb, I can't believe women can do that. I'm like, oh, I'm just fucking jealous, dude. I right. wish I could just fucking, you know, pose naked and get somebody to pay for my, that'd be
yeah.
badass, dude. Like how yeah. powerful is that feeling, you know?
It's pretty powerful, definitely. It's really, you know, honestly, the whole thing stemmed out of like me just being really poor, right. you know. And honestly, it was a really interesting thing because Metal Mish, like the whole page started because I had a lot of backlash from my family on my other Instagram page of posting nude.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you know, I just sometimes like to go outside and go on a hike, and then there's this like epic view, and it's like, well, I want to do like a nude yoga pose,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll take a picture of it and I would post it, and I'd get all this like, you know, oh my god, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, like if you guys don't want to see it, like I'm gonna keep posting it, you know, like this yeah. is my life and these are my choices, but like I can respect the fact that you don't want to see it. So I created this second page to post these things. But then I also like came to this realization, which was kind of when I was, not that I like justified doing OnlyFans, but the moment that I was like, oh, like this makes more sense to me now, mm-hmm. is when I kind of like related it to busking, which I was doing when I first come to Vegas. And basically like I was doing yoga. Busking is strip performing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you go on, or like some like, people like are like panhandling, like, or, you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
But with the difference between like panhandling and busking or street performing is that like when you're doing that, you've got like a skill
mm.
and people are like tipping you mm-hmm. for that yeah. skill. Whereas when you're panhandling, like you're just asking for money.
Yeah.
So, which is what I was doing just like to supplement my income in Vegas. And like, I was like, I just needed to make some money, and mm-hmm. I was doing yoga every single day anyway. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I might as well go out on Fremont and do yoga. And
yeah.
if people want to tip me for me being flexible, for me just like practicing my flow for whatever, like I'll do it. And maybe I'll make some friends along the way. Maybe I'll make some connections. Maybe somebody will be like, hey, I want you in my circus. And I'll be like, yeah, right. you know, like who knows?
Hey, but we got some friends we hook up with who are in the circus. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
They're just amazingly talented people. Like it's ridiculous. Like they shouldn't obtain that much power. Like it's right. okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good. and so then when COVID happened, I found myself in a similar situation. I was all of a sudden out of work, and I was being stuck at home because I didn't have enough money to like live my life and do what I wanted to do. So it's like, how can I, but Fremont was closed. So mm-hmm. like, how can I like do what I love to do, what I'm doing every day anyway? How can I like live my most natural expression and also like make a little extra cash because I need to pay my bills? And that's when my friends were like, you know, my housemates already were doing OnlyFans, and they were like, well, Michelle, like you could just like do this, like you don't need to make it like pornographic.
Yeah.
And they're like, you could literally just do naked yoga and yeah. get paid for it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, like, then I guess I will, you know? And it was literally just as simple as that. And since then, it's become, like, you know, so much more. Like, I had no intention of it being more of, like, a modeling thing. It was very much so, like, yoga inspired. And then I just found that I really liked, you know, working with photographers and, like, putting my body into different shapes and, like, mm-hmm. even, like, more simple shapes, right? More, like, modeling poses, yeah. less yoga, but still, like, manipulating your body to make it, like, art in yeah. some ways. And that's, like, another, like, tenet of nudism that I just absolutely love is just, like, the human body in mm-hmm. its naked form. So, to me, it all just, you know, made sense. And then to be able to, you know, benefit financially from it is just a bonus. You know?
Win-win, dude.
Yeah. It's pretty
great. Yeah, man. Yeah. I wish. I think that my, at least for me, as a man, I think my best bet is more to be, like, on that, like, photographer side of it, mm-hmm. unfortunately, because I don't think anybody's going to pay to see, like, this. You know what I mean? Like,
I'd be surprised.
That,
I was like, yeah. if you really want to do it, he should do it. Because I'm not really, like, yeah. into, like, putting my naked image out there so much anymore. Like, sure. And I never really, like, wanted to.
Yeah.
I kind of, like, just did it, like, because he wanted a model.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? I'll help you. Like, yeah. I'm here to support you, but yeah. sure. Like, it's not me. Like, I don't know. I just don't find myself, like, needing to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But like, yeah, I respect anybody. And everybody, like, everybody's, like, decision is their own.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And what...
But I'm like, if he wants to, like, try it out, I'm like, you should totally, like... I think people would buy your image.
I think so, too. And the thing about it is, like, so you don't need to, like... A, you don't need to do anything, like, you don't need to be, like, epic and, mm-hmm. like, crazy to, like, be able to put this stuff out there. And B, like, if you just wanted to, like, see what the audience was like, if you just wanted to see, like, how people feel about, like, a naked dude, and I don't know what your, like, kind of niche would be, if it would just be, like, artistic poses, yeah. or if you would be doing, you know, like, day-to-day activities. Like, yeah. I literally posted me, like, doing lawn work on yeah. my OnlyFans naked, and people, you know, like, they watch yeah. it, and they tip, and whatever. You can make your OnlyFans free. And mm-hmm. then that allows for, like, people to come on, and, like, more people can see your page, mm-hmm. because they don't have to subscribe and pay, like, monthly.
Yeah.
Which then, like, opens you up to a whole other realm of people, and, like, also opens you up to, like, more, you know, like, that turns into more of, like, a street performing style, where okay. you're, like, you're putting your work out there, it's totally free, and then people watch it and, like, can potentially tip you. And so, like, okay. I mean, like, I don't know, you could start wherever you wanted, but I think yeah, that there's yeah. definitely a market,
like,
out
there. Like, $100 a month, and I'll show you my kneecap. who's taking it, man?
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's cool, and it's, like, and the cool thing is, like, you're not the first person I've talked to who has an OnlyFans who's yeah. like, no, you could totally do it. Like, I keep, the more people I keep talking to who have them, you know, not even just OnlyFans, but even, like, patrons yeah. like that. I talked to Hector Martinez from he's from Mexico. That's how he makes his living, is he has a Patreon account. He's a nudist man,
yeah,
and he just shows all the places he goes to. He's also a really huge advocate in nudism, because, like, nudism's kind of just getting born more in, like, sure. Mexico right now. But he's like, dude, he's like, people will help support, and like for, I think the way I would go would be more of, like, hey, like, you guys are just helping me continue to go to these other resorts, tell you how they are, do the mm-hmm. podcast, bring totally. More people in, like that.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that, I think that would be, like, my selling point, was, like, I can give you all this information that rather than you having to go on Google and try to search all this stuff, totally. what's cool, you can just get one source, and I'll be like, hey, I've been here, and I feel like I'm pretty credible now. I've been doing this long enough to sure. where I'm a professional nudist, you know?
Yeah.
You know, but seriously, like, it's, I don't know.
But you could be, yeah. That's a really good, you know, because you could use, like, the nice thing about things like OnlyFans and Patreon is, like, you can be explicit. You know, like, you could do, like, a quick, like, little video and be like, hey, like, this is the place I'm visiting this yeah. week, like, where I'm going to do this podcast, mm-hmm. like, check in, you know, in 3 days, there will be another video, you know, yeah. more about this resort, more about my experience. Mm-hmm. And then, like, people would then pay for that. You
yeah.
know what I mean? And,
yeah, yeah.
And you don't have to worry about censorship on an Instagram, which is a big,
right.
yeah.
big pain right now.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with
that. I don't know either, man. Recently, it's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, like, it even happened to us. Like, we got really upset when our accounts got deleted. We've had, like, fucking 10 counts.
Oh, really?
10 counts, yeah.
Whoa. What's that mean? I don't know. Blake started a bunch of accounts initially. And then I was like, here, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to make it look like it's a woman.
Okay.
And, like, build it.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to, like, we'll switch.
Right. Yeah.
They never shut her down either.
Never. Like, yeah. I've maybe had a couple pictures, like, taken down.
Right.
And, like,
but because you're a female,
yeah, yeah. it's not,
people weren't reporting you as much.
They're like, oh, yeah. she's not
at all.
Right. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So weird.
But, Yeah, the thing is, though, like, especially a lot of our friends get, like, really, like, well, everybody gets pissed off when their photos get taken down. Unfortunately,
their accounts get shut down.
Yeah.
Dude, that's the big thing. And, like, I don't agree, like, okay, if you look at Instagram's guidelines, it specifically says you can't even show, like, your butt. You can't show anything.
Anything
looks
suggestive.
Like you're naked.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, like, so in a way, you can't, I mean, even though I do get upset, you can't really technically be upset because you're not
breaking
their
rules.
You know what I mean?
Truth.
But there's a lot of good shit out there that shouldn't be taken down from there. And, like, I get, like, I don't get what they're, like, why they're doing this, why they set those rules up, you know?
What's frustrating, too, is, like, there's, like, a lot of pornographic stuff on Instagram. That's, and you're, like, it shouldn't, like, that's breaking the rules.
Yeah,
and,
like, that
I don't,
chick
you don't understand it,
dick.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Where us, it's just, we're just here in this nature or at a resort or just hanging out by the pool where we're naked and that gets taken down. So it's really...
Well, when I talked to Hector, when I talked to Hector, he was talking about his YouTube page getting shut down, and I was like, well, the rules say that if it's for informative purposes only, and there's no sexual anything, then you're fine. Like we have, I don't know if we have any naked stuff on YouTube, but we have podcasts, anyways. But like Irish Naturist Association, they have a bunch of naked stuff on there, but it's all informational. It's like, hey, here's our resort, here's this.
They're teaching something.
But
right.
What Hector was saying is like it's not some person on the computer looking at every single video. It's an algorithm.
Yeah.
And the algorithm is not, it can't distinguish what is sexual or non-sexual. You know, it's not a human. It's not. And then also, like, you also have to imagine, like, even a human being, one thing that could be sex, like us just staying out there, like, by the pool is just us hanging out by the pool naked. But there's another person that could be, like, their thing. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's just, it's a really, like, weird situation to be into.
Yeah, and it's also like that weird loophole where, because like some people get away with putting their like nude photos on Instagram because they're like, you know, because it's in the name of art, right? So like you know, your ass crack can be showing in this image because it's art, and not because it's like pornographic, right? But if the wrong algorithm, if the wrong bot, you know, finds that photo, then you can potentially get taken down, and it's like. Inconsistency is frustrating.
And it can be pornographic art too, which is weird.
Totally.
There's some guy that like I opened my phone up and like it's a page I knew what I'm like it's a page that I like to follow.
Yeah.
He does like it's like 1920s like all the way to like fucking like super old art like French art and stuff like that. It's totally this chick like fingering herself but it's a painting. It's from like the I want to say it's even from like the 1500s something like that. It's super old and he was so happy that he got this painting. I don't know how much he paid for it but anyways. And then, like, all the comments, one, were just shit. Like, I don't want to see that shit. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I'm on Instagram. I'm at work. Well, you shouldn't be on Instagram at work anyways. But, and it was such a good painting that I thought it was just a regular woman, like, fingering herself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's how detailed it was. But then, like, what, like that's where it would fall into that thing. It's like, well, then do we just ban all porno, but use the definition itself to ban it, you know, on, let's just say, if you're using Instagram.
Instagram.
But again, it's that algorithm. Like, we're fighting a robot, really, is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
You know?
It's hard to say. And that, the guy who does the Nature's Living podcast?
Yeah.
He talks about how it's, like, a nudist job to know how porno harms, like, nudism. Like, it's your job to, like, study the history, like, study, like, their agenda and how they use it against
the porn industry
or like how they use nudists like
as
like a way for to make pornography like okay.
Interesting. I've never or like,
to take advantage
connection.
Of them.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. You should listen to the podcast because I don't remember everything he says, but it's like when I listened to it, it was very informative and I was like yes, this is important for us to know.
Yeah,
especially us because we're like we're putting our images out there and what is it doing to us like how
absolutely
the human mind like how is that interpreted.
Well, and that's interesting you bring that up because like on OnlyFans like I have no problem like sharing my like self pleasure on the site. I mean it's sort of like OnlyFans is run by My Free Cams, you know, and so it's the people that the audience that's on there is looking for porn.
Yes.
Right, and so you do walk this line like when you get on there it's like okay well this audience is looking for something specific so you have to make sure that you're also specific in like what content you're going to put out there. And I get people asking me for like sexual things all the time and like sometimes I don't mind doing them. Sometimes I'm like yeah like I actually did this for myself the other day so I'll send you a video, you know. But other times like that's definitely not, like, I'm, like, not in the mood. I'm, like, no, like, today I am cooking naked, and that's what you're going to get to see. You know what I mean? Right? Like, and that's, like, I mean, that's the beauty.
Well, that's,
like,
your power, too.
And it's, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's
your boundaries.
Yeah, right. That, yeah. But I never really thought about how, like, nudism can be misconstrued or, like, manipulated for the use of, like, porn.
Dude, it happens so much. And it actually happens a lot in the swinger community, too.
Interesting.
I don't know if I want to say their name.
Don't say anybody's name.
It's not a person. It's a place.
Okay.
Oh, don't say no. Okay. So there's this place that, okay, if you look up nudist resort in California,
yeah,
this place is the number one search on Google. It's not a nudist resort. It's a swingers resort, which is not a nudist resort.
Right. Different.
That place is not like this place. You know what I mean?
People get confused.
So, okay, may I just... What is the difference between us? Like,
so nudism. So this is a family nudist resort. Okay. You're here. We just hang out naked. There's no sexual anything allowed by the pool. Nothing.
Okay.
No sexual stuff.
A lifestyle resort.
Mm-hmm.
You can basically do whatever in any open space. Like, you can have foreplay. Like, because even some resorts are really strict where they don't even let you, like, couples, like, kiss.
Yeah.
Because they're like, no, you're going to give somebody the wrong idea. That's not what we're here for.
Yeah.
Or some nudist resort. So yeah.
It's non-sexual social nudity. Yeah.
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 But at a lifestyle resort, it's anything goes anywhere. Like, you could be in the pool, you could be outside the pool, you could be, like,
anywhere. You can do wherever.
Yeah. Well, I think except in the restaurant. Well,
Yeah. But so this, the thing is, like if you're a swinger, that's your own thing. That's cool. Like, do your thing.
Yeah.
We're not into it, but whatever. That's just a whole another, like, category. The thing is, it gets put into that same exact category as nudism all the time, and it's so hard. So, like, we actually had a couple that came here one time, and they're like, yeah, like, we didn't really know if we liked the nudist thing. We went to this resort, and it, like, the whole, like, having sex with each other thing was kind of weird, so, like, I don't know if we like that nudist resort. I'm like, well, that wasn't a nudist. So, like, that was your first mistake, was you didn't go to a nudist resort. If you're looking for nudism and social nudity and stuff like that, that's not the place you go to. Mm-hmm, you go there if that's what you're looking for.
But if that's the first place that pops up and you don't have any knowledge whatsoever, you go there and you think that, and you have this wrong idea of what it is.
And then it hurts communities like this one as well. Because then you have people who go there thinking that's a nudist resort. They come here trying to pull the same stuff.
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, and you're like, whoa, no.
Yeah.
Like, that's not allowed here, you know?
Sure.
But it happens a lot, like, more than... Fuck, it happens a lot.
Yeah.
You see it on social media. You see there's people who are like,
what happens?
Oh, yeah, I'm a, but, like, mixing the two. And it, even
interchangeably.
Like, yeah. There's like, oh, yeah, like, I'm a nudist. And, like, the whole page is them, like, jerking off or something. I'm like, you could, but, like, and then it's this weird thing because, like, you could still be a nudist, but, like, now. Like,
what are you gonna, it gets confusing because you're like, oh, I'm a nudist. And then you see things that you're like, what? Then what is a nudist?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
You know,
I guess we can look at the actual definition.
The definition, but I guess, like, what's, like, causing problems for us sometimes is that people are like, I'm a nudist, swinger, exhibitionist, this and that. And I get that, be all those things.
Sure.
But don't try and, like, lump yourself with purely nudism is.
Absolutely. Well, and you can have so many different identities, right? It doesn't matter. And, like, everyone can. I think another thing about, like, just an identity in general, and, like, this whole idea of, like, labeling yourself and putting yourself in all these different boxes, which can be really, feel really comforting to your brain and to your, like, psyche and your self-esteem and your mental health in general. But I think there is, like, sometimes a, an issue that occurs because you don't, like, you're not necessarily respecting other people and the rules that come with those identities, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, for instance, like, if you go to, like, a dungeon, you know, and, like, you're interested in getting into the kink community, right? And then, like, but you have an expectation of how, you know, you want it to go, and their community guidelines, like, go against that expectation, like, you need to still respect those community guidelines, right? And so, like, similarly, people, like, swingers coming here thinking that they can just be, like, you know, having a good time on the tree, like, you know, is like, no, that's not how things work here. Like, you can find another place where you can be nude and also do this thing, right? But that's not this place. And so, that, like, education.
Well, another thing too is, like, the thing with, like, labels, a lot of people don't even want to do nude, or they a lot of people don't call themselves nudists, yeah, but they like to be naked, which is totally fine. That's not like, I'm not like, oh, if you like to be naked, you have to be you have to call yourself a nudist.
Right.
Nudist is these boundaries that are set, and that's why labels are made.
Right.
So that when you go to a nudist place, you know exactly what you just said right now.
You
know exactly what you're getting yourself into. Yeah. And then if you go to a swingers place, you know what you're getting into there.
Right.
So you can just be like, you can be a nudist and you can be a swinger.
Right.
But then you have to realize when you go to those physical locations and when you go into those actual categories of what you're trying to do or whatever, you have to understand the that's why we have boundaries and stuff like that. It stops people from getting confused.
Yeah.
It's labels need to happen. As much as people don't want them to happen, totally. Labels are just categories, you know? Yes. And if you don't want to call it a label, just call it a category. You know, like if the word label offends you or whatever, then,
right.
you know, and you don't have to be anything either. You know, that's a cool, you can just come hang out naked.
Right.
Like,
right. Like, I just like to be naked.
Yeah.
Right.
That's fine.
Because I probably wouldn't, I wouldn't call myself a nudist necessarily.
Yeah.
But then when I'm hanging out here and I have friends who are like, I'm a nudist. Well, I'm like, I guess I'm a nudist now.
That's kind of how I felt, you know? Yeah. I had people like commenting on, or like, messaging me on Instagram and they're like, oh, so like you're like a nudist, like you like to do these things, and I was like, well, like I guess so, like I like to be, you know, like I like my morning, I like to sleep naked, I like to wake up, I like to make my coffee naked, you know, I love like whatever, so I guess that means that, you know, I fall into under that category. But yeah, boundaries are definitely important. That's an interesting thing to think about as well, just the topic of boundaries and how it's not necessarily, I wouldn't necessarily say like it's a social norm to like set boundaries and like obey those boundaries, you know, like if people don't necessarily, like I felt like I had to like teach myself how to like set my own personal boundaries based on like what categories I do fit in and like how I want to like, how I want those categories to blend and how I want them to stay separate, you know, and like you figure out your own boundaries, and then like it's a whole nother task of like learning how to communicate those boundaries, right, and like learning where you want them to go, and that's not necessarily, I don't think, like you're not learning that in like first grade, right? You know, like, you're not learning that in school.
Well, that's a very good point too, and like in creating your own labels too, you know, that can open up a whole brand new doors. So like for the people who, and just because we're on the topic, like the nudist and swinger thing, if you're like, I'm a nudist, but I'm also a swinger, like I like to be naked, but I also like to do that.
Right.
They'd be like, okay, then you can start your own resort. That's what your label is. It's
right.
Like, hey, we're nudist, but we're also swingers. So now it's like a nudist swingers resort. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, and that's
but how I think that's already like how it is for either, not either place, but
for the swingers part.
A lifestyle resort, because you can go there and just be naked.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't have to be doing it.
You don't have to be, like, participating. And for the most part, everybody's respectful. Like, if you don't want to be bothered or, you know, anything, you just, they ask.
Yeah.
Consent is huge.
Consent is huge.
Yeah, no, that's,
I mean, we're not
going to
say, like, we have friends who are swingers.
Yeah.
Right when we met them, we're like, hey, listen, like, we're not into that. We just want to hang out naked. That's it.
Yeah, we're just naked.
We totally respect our boundaries. Yeah. Like, never once were they like, oh, well, maybe this one night. No, nothing.
Never.
We said, this is what we are.
Yeah, we set the boundary.
Right.
Yep. That's all it has to be, you know?
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
But you gotta be very, like, clear.
Yeah.
Because then we also have the friends who are, they don't know what they are, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, right. You know, they don't know their boundaries, they don't know what they want to be portrayed at, and they're like, how do you have this Instagram that hasn't, you know, been shut down, like, you haven't had any problems with, blah, 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 this and that. I'm just like, I set the boundaries.
Right.
You're not clear, and you're testing the waters,
like,
you know, you're going to get your hand snapped.
Totally.
So you're going to be clear on what you're trying to do. I'm like, this is how you can be successful. This is how you can make it work. But you need to be very strict.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if that's, when I was like, you got to decide what you want to do. Because I was like, I want this to be, like, purely nudist. And I'm like, maybe some of the pictures sometimes, like, wouldn't strike me, like, as a nudist.
Sure.
They, like, maybe, like,
oh,
sometimes.
So something else. Oh, okay.
Like, sometimes, like, I'm like, oh, that could be, like, misconstrued as sexual.
Sure.
Do I want to put that idea or vision
100%
out there?
Yeah.
You know, you have to think about it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, for the most part, I try and be like very strict on what, like, even when he posts something, I'm like, you need to ask me before you put that
on there, right?
Because this is the image that I want to portray, and this is what we're trying to do.
Totally. Yeah.
So now I only let her post things.
Well, like, if it's you, I don't care. You can post your own image.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Please. Sure.
But if it's involving both of us.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So I just letting you guys know, a nudist is a person who engages in the practice of going naked wherever possible.
Yeah.
That's what the definition of a nudist is. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Yep, and like even right now, I'm learning about like importance of like definitions and stuff like that, and that's mm-hmm. exactly where yeah. what that falls under.
You know? Totally.
No. So, yeah. I don't know how long we're gonna do this. I'd be down to talk for hours, but
at least we gotta take a time out.
Oh yeah, in like 7 minutes, gotta go check on the meat. But check on the meat. Yeah, we're smoking some
filet mignon.
Nice. Yeah. So, one thing that I wanted to bring up to you, because you are a climber, which yeah. is cool. I like to climb as well. Something I got brought up in conversation before was that a lot of climbers were, like, against climbers climbing naked. Mm. Which I'm like, one, most of you I talk to, like, that's badass. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Obviously, for me, a lot of comments that I get is like, oh, you're going to scrape your wiener on the rock. Or your wiener is stuck inside the climbing. Yeah. Or yeah. Yeah. Or like, oh, your spotter can see your butthole. I'm like, well, one, okay. Yeah. One, is just a butthole. Two... I don't climb slab, so I'm not going to scrape my wiener.
Yeah.
Three, I don't know what kind of climbing people do where they're putting their wieners inside rocks, but, like, that's not the type that I do. So, right. Like, I don't, like, I'm just going to get stuck. I don't want to tell you guys.
Yeah.
But there is even, like, even our local gym, I guess there, so one of the guys there is, he's a friend, yeah. and he climbs naked all the time.
Yeah.
He's really, really fucking good.
Yeah.
Really good guy. And people have, but he works there, so people yeah. actually came in to the gym mad at him, being like, hey, or like talking to the other employees, like, do you know that you have an employee here that climbs these routes naked outside? Right. And he's like putting his wiener all over the holds and stuff. Like, hey, what do you think's happening out there? He's just fucking wiggling his wiener all over the starting holds and stuff. So do you get any like negative feedback like that?
Yeah. So it's actually interesting. I haven't done a lot of like rope climbing naked.
Okay.
Mostly because since COVID happened, I haven't had partners, like mm-hmm. literally yeah. all of my partners that were in, like, Vegas is such a transient city that when COVID hit, like, all of my friends that were like living out of vans or like right. there to climb just and left. Like they just all like dispersed, even the ones that like that I'd met like through work mm-hmm. that also were in the climbing community, they, you know, even though they had like leases and all this other stuff, you know, it's like, well, there's a pandemic happening, so like we need to be with family, right? So like yeah. they leave Vegas, so that kind of stopped me, but that also was where the inspiration was to like start going camping a lot. And then so I basically have only done like nude climbing by myself or like with my one housemate that's like helping me take photos. Mm. And that's been, you know, I mean, I've like her and I, we don't, we'll be nude all the time, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah,
like,
not
she's,
a big deal.
Yeah, she's a dancer, like she's very comfortable with her body and in the nude, and I would definitely, I think she's definitely called herself an exhibitionist, so mm-hmm. like she's keen on it. I have been looking, however, though, for like a partner that would be interested in doing more nude climbing, because I just think it would be a lot of fun mm-hmm. to like get up there and like
it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, and like yeah. you just feel good, right?
We did 850 feet in a Bishop, well, Lone Pine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was the only naked one, but still.
Whatever, yeah.
And then you were freezing.
Yeah, it was fucking, it was dumb. So, like, yeah. so it was, like, I think it was, like, springtime. So, like, when the sun was hitting, I was like, oh, dude, it feels this good. I got great. Naked. I put my harness on.
Yeah.
I'm, like, up the, we're, like, probably 700 feet up. All of a sudden, that what's fucking sun goes sets down. On the other side.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, this was the biggest mistake I've ever made in my entire life, oh, my dude. God. Yeah, it was yeah. just.
Close.
Yeah. And even, like, as far as, like, the whole, like, a lot of people, okay, so my buddy Mike, he's, like, one of my best friends. But there's a picture of, where I'm spotting him, and he's, like, he's doing naked. A move, and, like, yeah. he's spread open, like whatever. Yeah. Like it's just it. So I'm like spotting him so he doesn't fucking die. I'm not looking at his butthole.
Oh, right.
And his fucking like brother or something like that is like, oh dude, for like he's
so
like
so many
he,
comments.
He's like he commented like 10 comments. Times. Kept calling Mike like, dude, your buddy's looking at your butthole. I'm like, well, I'm like, but he like I don't. I think it was a lot like we talked about yesterday. The whole assumption or like it's not about you type of thing.
Yeah.
It's
right.
not about me. That guy's probably insecure about
yeah.
whatever. He's that's probably gay or something. I don't know. I don't give
yeah.
a fuck.
Yeah.
But
I almost commented like, hey, that's my man.
Yeah.
He's definitely not gay.
Yeah. yeah. But it was just it was weird to like to do that. And even like when you're climbing, so like there's one climb that I did up in Idlewild. It's a V1, super easy, but it's super sketchy as fuck. It looks yeah. like a spaceship. It's called okay. Once Upon a Time.
Okay.
And I'll show you a picture right now. But it's like this spaceship looking thing, and then there's a like a drop off like this, or like it's like a land. The landing's like this.
Yeah.
And it's all overhang. It's all jug, so it's
not yeah.
Like so it's like overhang, and then the landing's like this, and then after the landing, there's like a 30-foot drop.
Oh boy.
So if you fall and you bounce, you're just fucked. Like there's yeah. no, there's not really much your spotter can do.
Right.
So, like we got there, I looked at it, I was like, yeah, there's no fucking way I'm doing it. Like there's right. no way I'm not doing that shit. And then like I touched it, I did a couple moves, like maybe I don't know, but then and I'm not gonna lie. The whole do it for the gram. I'll do shit for the gram. I'm gonna fuck. So I was like, hey, I'm gonna get naked. I was like, I'm gonna get naked. I'm gonna do it halfway. I'll climb back down. Then I'll tell people, obviously, I didn't climb it, but it was cool to do it naked.
Absolutely.
Something happened, dude. Like, this magical fucking, like, eagle warrior god fucking came upon me when I got naked. And I fucking did it, dude.
You sent it.
So I was there, and, like, I'm at a point, and all of a sudden, like, everything just, like, went quiet. And my buddy's like, hey, you might as well just do it. I was like,
you're right.
So I just, like, grabbed the top hole, fucking put my leg up. And I was like, oh, shit, I'm doing, like, because there's also, like, a no-fall point. Like, there's a point where, like, you just have to do it. There's no coming back. So then I get to it, and, like, you have to, it's a really high foot, and then you're super spread open. And then, so, like, my buddies were, like, below me. I'm like, sorry, guys. Like, you guys are seeing my butthole. Like, this is what it is. But I did it, and I was like, fuck, man. Like, climbing naked, like, gives me this extra fucking power, dude.
Absolutely.
So do you work on, like legit projects naked? Or do you do it more, like, do you do it for more for the gram?
I would say that, like, I do it more for just, like, my own comfort, to be quite honest. Like, I don't really like climbing with a bra on, just because I don't, it's, like, it's, like, a lot on my traps, and I'm, like, using a lot of those muscles, and I've got enough, like, knots and things in there that when I'm wearing things that are super constricting, I feel like I can't climb as hard. So, so I more so, honestly, just do it for the comfort of it all, but... Yeah, I do think that there's something to be said about being naked and making your, like, you feeling, like, powerful from it. Because you just, like, you're in your, like, most natural state, and, like, there's nothing that could potentially, like, no outside thing on your person that could potentially, like, mess things up.
Yeah.
Right? And so you're just, like, it's just me in the naked on this rock that's also naked.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, and we're gonna do it. We're gonna, like, do this dance together. And hopefully it works out, right?
Yeah.
And
dude, 100%.
Yeah.
I love nudism. I think everybody should just be naked all the time.
I agree.
But for the climbing part, it's just,
There was one time I was climbing this one climb at the Gun Club. It's a limestone crag just outside of Vegas. And there's this climb, it's a 10D, and I'm leading it. And I haven't really done a lot of climbing. And there's this one, there's like a big boulder, and you're kind of like, straddling and hugging this thing, and I'm not naked doing this, but I'm definitely like in a thin top, and I'm not wearing a bra, and I had to make this like one move and like kind of huck a high hand, and it just like scraped my boobs. I was like, I got the clip. I was like, take like I can't.
So maybe naked climbing is not good all the time, but most of the time, like there's
you do get scraped up. I see it on you.
Something like fucked up. Yeah,
I definitely, especially bouldering, like my knees and my legs are just like, I'm holding on to things. I'm like,
well, I also wear, like, I wear short shorts like when I climb too.
Yeah,
because it, one, you don't want the cloth to go over the knee, because if you had to extend your knee and you stop, that fucks the whole thing up.
Sure.
And then plus, like, she bought me a really good pair of Pranas. Is it about time? Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. So she bought me a nice pair of, like, Pranas. They're super thin. Like, it feels like I'm naked. It's like the next best thing to, like, being naked.
Right.
But, all right, guys. Let's cut to commercial real quick.
A break.
To all our naked electronic friends, I think right now is the best time to just kind of chillax for a second. With everything going on, there's fucking wildfires all over the world. There's always shit going on. But we kind of just need a komote for a second. And what better way to komote than with your very own Summer Moon candles? And you're probably like, Blake, what the fuck? How's a candle going to help me relax? There's fucking all the shit going on, blah, blah, blah. Just, it's okay. It's going to be okie dokie. Just grab yourself a Summer Moon candle. And you're like, Blake, what is a Summer Moon candle? You keep saying this. I'll just tell you. I'll tell you right now about Summer Moon candles, okay? Summer Moon Woodwick Candles, it's a mama-owned and operated candle company born from a desire to create high-quality, all-natural candles that are beautiful, unique, and good for the soul. Create a positive and ideal space for spiritual rest and setting intentions with our crystal-infused candles. Our hand-poured soy candles are made with 100% natural crackling wood wicks, adorned with real crystals and dried flowers, and fill your home with an abundant aromas and good energy. Every candle is hand-poured in small batches, ensuring the attention to detail and giving you the best quality possible. You guys, that's what we need. We need these crystal candles with dried flowers and these wood wicks, which are absolutely amazing. They feel like you're next to this little campfire. I know I keep saying that, but they're awesome. So let's recap. They're hand-poured candles, hand-poured in small batches with love and good intention. Why not? Like, that's what we need. We need love and good intentions. They're 100% all-natural soy wax. They're 100% all-natural wood wicks. And if you get a 13-ounce candle, it's going to burn for 50-plus hours. It's a long time. Holy shit. I didn't even realize that. We burn ours for, like, I don't know, probably like 30 minutes, hour at a time. That's all we need. They're gorgeous, and they come in high-quality vessels. And they're vegan and cruelty-free. And they're free of dyes, petroleum, and additives. So, you guys, when you're like, how am I supposed to relax in a time like this? Just go over to Summer Moon Candles, okay? Use offer code OurNakedStory if you want. I don't know. You're going to save 10% off if you do. So you might as well. Why not? Remember, it's going to be all caps and no spaces. Okay? Get yourself a Summer Moon Candle. Light it when it comes to your house. And just chill there for a second. And let the aromas just overcome you with this love and positivity. And then the crystals, whether you believe in crystals or not, I do. Call me crazy. They're gonna help you, like, come or like get over those like bad energies and stuff. They're gonna take all your energies. It's like a sponge picking up like tomato soup that you spilt on the floor, and it's just gonna absorb all of that tomato soup, which is a metaphor for your negative energy, and then you're gonna drain it all out into the sink or something. I don't know. Sorry, I was going on a good one there. But yeah, guys, go check it out. You're going to go to Etsy.com/shop/summermooncandles. And you're going to save 10% off when you use Our Naked Story with no spaces, all capitalization. And you're going to enjoy an amazing candle. That's just, it's pretty much that simple. Okay. So whether you believe in crystals, dried flowers, whatever, if you want an awesome 100% natural candle, go over to this company. It's going to be absolutely amazing. Again, you guys, that is Etsy.com/shop/summermooncandles. And you're going to receive 10% off when you use Our Naked Story for the offer code. All right, guys, back to the show. And we are back after our dinner break.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Good job.
Filet mignon.
Mignon.
What a weird way to spell it. M-I-N-G-O-N?
Yeah, I think so.
Mignon. M-I-G-N-O-N. Words are weird, man.
English is a hard language.
It is.
Yeah.
Dude, were you guys here for that conversation yesterday? Dude, that was a whole fucking interesting. This whole weekend has just been, I feel like I'm in school, but like a cool kind of school. I've learned so much cool shit. I don't know. So everybody, let everybody know, nudists are fucking intelligent people. And everybody should be naked. There you go.
Yeah. There's my conclusion. Makes you talk about stuff.
It does. Yeah. Well, especially like, okay. And it's kind of cool. So like Dylan, remember Dylan? It makes you focus. Okay, here we go.
Dylan.
My brother.
Yeah. Oh, I wasn't sure. I thought you were talking about that one.
Oh, no. So nudism, or just being naked, it doesn't have to be nudism, like, makes you focus on, like, makes you not focus on certain parts to, like, try to focus on others. So, like, my brother came over, and he's like, yeah, the whole time, I was just worrying. He's like, I had to look him in the eye because I don't want to look at his dick.
Yeah.
I was like, well, you shouldn't be looking people in their dick anyways. You should be looking people in their eye. Like, that's right. How you should talk to a human being, you know?
Yeah.
But, no. So, you are originally from Chicago.
Chicago. Yeah.
But your family's from Poland.
Correct.
I'm learning a lot.
Yeah.
Learned a lot this week. I'm telling you, dude, we should get you to talk with somebody that's here that's Polish.
Oh, I met your neighbor.
Yeah?
You did? Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
He came up and walked his cat.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Yeah, that's him. He's a cat walker.
Yeah.
He walks cats.
Did you speak
We did.
Polish?
We did
speak
Polish together.
Did that, so we had a friend when we were in Honduras. He was Honduran.
Yeah.
He's obviously, you know, like, from there, but, like, he speaks it. Anyways, and he's like, yeah, I had this weird, like, it's like it brought me back, like, centuries ago. Like, just speaking the language itself is so powerful.
Yeah.
Did you have that feeling today?
I wouldn't say I had that feeling exactly, but we did talk about, because he had said a few things, and then I said a few things, and, like, we're talking back and forth in Polish, and then, like, sometimes I respond in English, and I get a little insecure, like, with Polish people, because I've had some Polish people that, like, talk smack about me in Polish, but, like, I can, like, it was my first language, I can understand pretty much everything, it's just that I'm out of practice, so, like, my grammar and, like, my vocabulary is not very good, but, yeah, so I get a little insecure because I'll respond in English, mm-hmm. and so I brought it up, and I was like, you know, like, oh, like, I understand really well, but I don't speak very well all the time, and he was telling me about how, like, he's had that problem too, and I just, like, we were talking about how if you, like, go to the actual place, like, you can, like, it was my first language, so, like, I think I would be able to, like, bring it all back, yeah. right? And then, like, also going to the place and, like, speaking that language, like, there is definitely, like, some power in that. And there is some, like, ancestral, like, stuff that, like, you connect with that you're like, oh, like, where did that come from? Yeah. You know, like, how did I know that?
Or, like, how, where... spells or something.
Yeah, like, where is, like, yeah. where am I... where's that feeling coming from, right? Hell yeah. Yeah.
That's how I feel when I go to Riverside. you know, right here, city over. Yeah. But, so you've traveled just about everywhere so far, or...?
I haven't been to all seven continents, but I've been... I like to travel, and that has always sort of been, like, a known thing for me, so it was a huge motivation for the reason I joined, like, Team USA. It was like, mm-hmm. like oh, you get the opportunity to represent your country? Oh, you get the opportunity to travel the world?
So, yeah. so that's in the gymnastics thing?
Yeah.
So you were like, up there.
I was, like competing to get to the Olympics. Yeah.
Oh, shit. I mean, yeah, I still thought it was cool as fuck, but, like, yeah, like... Oh shit! Yeah, no, yeah. I didn't know that. So a lot of the travel you did was from the gymnastics.
Yeah, that's how I've seen most of the international world. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, like, on my own accord, I've only been to Australia as, like, a student.
Yeah,
it was actually a goal of mine to, like, start doing more international travel, because after I came back from Australia, I realized that I had done so much international traveling up until that point that I hadn't really seen my own country, and I was like, holy. How, like, I don't really know anything about the Americas, you know, like, I don't know anything about the United States, I don't know anything about Canada, like, I'd been to Mexico, I'd been to Guadalajara, but I felt like there was still so much more to learn and see and to know, and then I've always been very drawn to South America as well, and so I made a point, I was like, I came back from Australia, and I was like, I'm gonna, like, in the next 2 years, I'm gonna, like, get into van life, and I'm gonna, like, learn how to, like, road trip and just do that thing.
Yeah.
It didn't happen within 2 years, but it did happen. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I was pretty grateful. So that was sort of my goal recently since, like, 2018 till now. And then 2020 was going to be the year that, like, I started going and doing. I wanted to go, like, backpack Europe, and, like, I wanted to go visit my family and, like, learn about my roots and, like, really feel into that, like, you know, that power that, you know, your ancestors can give you, and go to Germany, visit my friends in Germany and France and London and all these places. And, well, COVID happened, so here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Doing other great things, though. You know, like, so many other blessings have come out of it.
Yeah, yeah. No, for sure. Yeah. And it's cool. And, like, yeah. And also you find out, like, especially with the COVID thing, like, you find out exactly what, like, you actually need, or, like, yes. what actually makes you happy in life, yeah. too. You know, like you said, like, you didn't really see too much of a difference. Like, yeah, I can't really go to bars.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. And that's kind of, like, the only difference that we kind of saw. Right. But, I mean, even then, like, it really wasn't, we still did go to some bars. You right. know, it's just not all the bars were open. Yeah. It was just... So, I don't know. I guess I'd have to talk to somebody who, like, feels like they're just, like, totally missing out on everything that they used to do because of COVID. You know what I mean?
I had a friend that messaged me, actually, and he stopped messaging me because I was, like, kind of optimistic about everything. Because for him, like, that's, like, that was his life. It was, like, going out. He went out to eat every single night. He went out mm-hmm. to bars every single night. He was always at, like, social events and, like, doing things in the social sphere, in the city sphere, and, like, that scape. And, like, for me, like, I moved to Vegas to, like, to have that, to have the ability and have the choice to be able to do that. But I, like, also moved to Vegas because I like how close nature is and how, like, within 30 minutes I can just be in the middle of nowhere, you know? And he was literally like, okay, like, we don't really have much more to talk about when it comes to this topic. Because, like, clearly, you know, like, you're feeling good about, like, being outside all the time. Like, the comment exactly that I said was, like, oh, my life, I feel like, didn't really change much. Like, I didn't get a chance to get to see the live music that I had anticipated seeing this year, but that's, like, kind of my only big bummer.
Yeah.
And, like, he just was, like, crickets.
He's like, everything in my life sucks.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, you know, you just live a different life.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Something that was really positive that I saw that did come out of this was seeing that, at least when, like, they were like, oh, you can go for walks with your family. Like when they were setting those, like, really strict lines. I was like, dude, there's a shitload of people who probably never walked before. Yeah. They're outside. They're walking. They're at the park. They're off their phones. They're fucking being a human being. It's kind of cool to see that. You know? I don't really see it too much anymore, but I don't know. I think a lot of people picked up stuff that they probably would never done if they were still stuck in that office every single day or whatever it is, you know? And there's a cool article that I'm just optimistic about that I want it to be true. They're like, yeah, nudism, you know, is bigger now because people are at home, so they need to be naked all day. I don't know where the fuck that comes from.
I actually think I saw something like that somewhere.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I didn't even look like really. I think that was just a headline. I was being a headline reader that day. But I was like, fuck it, dude. I'm taking that information and I'm going along with it. Yeah. That's my everything now.
Yep.
But yeah. But it's, I don't know. It's, I'm not going to say it's not that bad. It's just weird is really what it comes down to.
It's just different, you know.
Yeah, people are afraid
of. It's adapting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it also, it shows how powerful humans are to be able to adapt to stuff like that, you know. And we won't get too much into it, but like we were talking about earlier, like nobody really knows what to do. So like, you can't really, I liked what you said yesterday. When, like, is that person doing their best?
Yeah.
And I think if you really ask that question, even for people you hate or you don't, like, is that their absolute best? And if it is, like, yeah, they could always do it better. We could always do stuff better too. But when you look at situations like this, like you, instead of just like making that judgment and being like, yeah, you know, like they're not doing this, they're doing that.
Wow.
I heard that a lot. Jesus, why are you yelling? I'll edit this out. Hang on.
Tony's getting started.
I know. Yeah, our neighbor's getting drunk. It's all right. I can totally, I'll edit that out. But fuck, now I forgot what I was saying.
We were talking about
adapting.
Yeah. Oh, and is somebody doing their best? Yeah. So I think they're doing what they can. You know, it just is what it is. And even if it doesn't really make sense, like my whole big thing right now is that, that mask thing in the restaurants. You show up, you have to walk to your table with a mask, and then I can still take this out, whatever. But, you know, you take the mask off when you're eating, but then you put it back on if you go to the bathroom. And to me, it doesn't make sense, but it's the best that we can do right now.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
Always do your best.
Yeah. Always do your best.
Those, what was that? One of the four pillars?
Four agreements. I found out there's a fifth agreement, too, which I'm going to talk to Eric about that. I want to have a whole...
What's the fifth agreement?
Always, or question everything.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I think it's question.
What are the four agreements?
So
be impeccable with your word. Don't take anything personally. Don't make assumptions. Always do your best.
Okay.
But then he talks about, like, after you accept those four, then you can make your own agreements. Yeah. It's like you're born into this world with all these agreements already established for you. And so it's our job to, like, break those down. And he's like, if everybody lives off of these four agreements, I don't know. It's just help you live, like, a better life, I guess.
Yeah.
Within yourself.
Right. Yeah, it gives you, like, a sense of perspective, almost.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a good book. It's, like, 200 pages, so.
I think I have a friend that has it. I'm like, I have, like, a visual of it, and it's, like, orange.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
I bought it for him, and then he lent it to somebody, and now we haven't seen it, so.
Yeah.
We no longer lend books out.
Yes.
That's a hard thing. I used
to. It was my grandmother. Yeah, I'm calling you out, Grandma. Give me my fucking book back.
I once lent out a book to a friend, and it was, like, this book that, like, changed my life, right? I was, like, a teenager and whatever. It was a young adult novel. Actually, it's part of the core curriculum now, Looking for Alaska. But, you know, and I lent out this book to my friend, and she, like, didn't let me, she had forgotten to let me know that she put it in her mailbox that I needed to pick it up. And it had rained, and, like, the book just got destroyed. And I was, like, so just heartbroken because, like, I, like, spent one night, I read, like, 3.5 hours just, like, sobbing, like, finished the book and, like, had this whole thing. And I didn't go to bed that night because I had to, like, you know, there's, like, with fiction books, if you get, like, really invested in the characters, like, there's, like, a whole, like, grief process of, like, closure that has to come with, like, finishing the book and, like, ending that relationship.
Yeah.
And as a teenager, that was a serious process for me.
That was a lot. So the fifth agreement is be skeptical about everything. Okay. So it says be skeptical about things, but be ready to listen. That's pretty cool. I've never actually really looked into this. Our own view of the truth is nothing but a lens created out of the symbols that we grew up with, taught and grown accustomed to. That being said, it's important to remind ourselves that what we believe or think is not necessarily true. This act of questioning our own views will serve us towards the understanding and development, or developing empathy towards others. That's pretty cool.
I think it's good.
So So yeah, question things, mm-hmm. but don't like, I guess like don't shut everything down though. You know what I mean? Or at least that's what I get from that. So like.
Yeah, stay skeptical and recognize that where your truth comes from is just like a small snippet of what the universe is actually like about.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Universe. People used to make fun of me, dude. My brothers. Because I would always hashtag, like, universe. Like, at least the universe has helped. Like, I was, like, too super into, like, the universe and shit. And they're like, I was like, you know, at least the universe helped me out. And they would make
fun of me. I like to use the universe instead of, like, God, you know?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people will be like, oh, thank God. I'm like, well, thank the universe.
Yeah.
Like, to me, they're the one and the same, thing, you know? Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Depends on how deep we got in this. No, you're 100% right. Yeah. No, it's funny. So, like, growing up, we would go to church, like Christian church and stuff like that. And I remember being like 10 years old or something like that. And being like, yeah, this is kind of bullshit. Like, this is weird.
Yeah, I have some questions.
I have 2 days off of school and I'm spending one day in this building. I don't know. That's also just my own thing. Religion definitely is a good tool for people who, if they want some type of guidelines to live by, you know, and whichever religion you go through, whatever practice you do to make you a better person, hey, fucking go out for it. If you're not hurting anybody, do what the fuck you want, really. Yeah. What it comes down to. And that's like, that could be like a really simple rule to live by too. Like, you want to do heroin? You know, fucking do heroin. You're hurting yourself, but you're not, you know,
I don't know. Want to get naked?
Yeah, you want to get naked? Hang
out some trees?
Yeah.
Yeah. Get naked and do it. As long as you're not hurting anybody.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to rape somebody? Yeah, you can't fucking do that. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's fucking simple. It's super simple. But yeah. So I had a conversation with my mom one time where I was like, hey, like, because I was trying to get into like Buddhism and stuff like that. And then started, I'm like, well, you know, there's this and this from Buddhism and this. She's like, well, the thing that they all kind of have in common is like the power of love, pretty much, like the power of positivity and just being nice. You know, it's kind of a universal religious thing. Yeah. So I was like, well, how do you feel? I was like, you send us to church and like she was never like, oh yeah, this is everything. Like, this is your guys' everything. You have to go to church every Sunday. You have to do. After a while, you know, she told me like that was kind of just like a nice like little like steps into like understanding what it takes to be like a good person, because like, and the Bible really does like have a lot of cool like useful things, and it does teach you to be a good person. For somebody to believe that all like is 100% true and accurate, like if you look at it as like a metaphorical or like symbolic stuff, yeah, it totally makes sense, dude. Like, I mean, whatever. I don't know. I'm not a fucking, what are they called?
Yeah.
Anthropist. Theologists.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm also a little drunk. So, yeah. So you guys know.
We should wrap it up.
Are you wrapping it up? Okay.
It's like kind of like, we're going all
veering off. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I'm cool. Well, thank you so much, Michelle or Mish.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if we became your friends yet where we call you Mish.
You call me Mish.
Okay. Cool.
Definitely call me Mish.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, hope you have fun in Nevada.
Yeah.
I know there's no nudist resorts out there, but.
That's okay.
You can just get stuck in the middle of the desert and take your pants off.
Exactly.
No. Right. Awesome. Well, I haven't started doing this lately. Where can people find you on Instagram?
Wherever. You can find me as Metal Mish, metal_mish. And that's my art page. And then I also have a fitness page because I'm a personal trainer, and that's like what I do. So you can find that at live_the_question. And I do a lot of like functional training, a lot of like injury prevention, being an elite athlete. I have a lot of chronic pain that I didn't really know was going to occur. So that's like where I specialize, as well as just like regular fitness and movement empowerment, like spirituality stuff. That's kind of where you'll find all of that. Metal Mish is more of like an artist thing, and also my nudist page, I guess at this point.
Yeah.
Which is rad. Yeah. Yeah.
Go follow you guys. Metal_Mish.
Yes.
And you guys can follow us on Our Naked Story. Yeah. And also go check out our website, ournakedstory.com. And check out the podcast. No, just kidding. All right. I'm drunk, dude. All right, you guys.
Bye.
You guys have a wonderful, awesome day. I have to drag this out for 5 minutes longer.
Why?
Because I just have to. That's weird. I'm just kidding. All right, everybody. We'll see you later.
Toodles.
Bye.